Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Keelan Patterson, P4P Real Talk Midwest Muscle in the house. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. And if you are a drug-free athlete and looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, that's
like a Mack truck through ice cream.
Check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now let's talk. Hey, Des, how you doing?
I am doing awesome tonight. You know, I'm just contemplating some of these shows that are still coming up. You know, once you compete in one, you have the itch to kind of keep going. And there are a couple of good ones that are still coming up over the next couple of months. I know October 29th, we have Jonathan Agin's show, NGA, coming up in Peoria. So if you guys are out there show ready, looking for another Midwest opportunity, that one's going to be a good one. We also have the, is it Midwest States Classic coming up November 19th, Kaylin, in DeKalb,
That's
Illinois?
That's correct. Yes.
The OCB. So there's another one. There's another one. I know that Kaylin and I are planning on checking that one out, so we invite you to join us there. And a couple of good ones coming up. The season is getting ready to wind down, if you can believe that. We've done so much time talking about it's coming, and now it's here, and now it's starting to wind down. That's kind of sad.
Yeah, how about it, right? Well, there's still the Keith Hunter show in the Memphis Classic. I can't remember the name of it. I know he's really pushing to get something in Tennessee because that's an NPC-dominated area, and he's trying to bring the natural reality to that community, and it's working out pretty good. And he's one of the guys that you'd really want to do it because he's so passionate about, how to do that stuff.
All right, cool. So there's another one. If you happen to be in that neck of the woods, check out the Memphis Classic, and Get in there. Otherwise, get your buns in gear and be ready for spring, because that's when things are going to heat up again, and it'll be here before you know it. So do
yes,
check
it
out. And it will. When are – I would meant to look up this date, but the IFPA Worlds are coming up, are they not?
IFPA, yeah.
Am I correct about that? Yeah.
Don't ask me to quote the date. He just had it in my hand. I was talking to Fred Roulette himself, and sure enough, I can't remember the day, and I had the calendar and everything.
I know the NGA Worlds, if I've got that title right, probably not, but the big NGA show is also coming up in early November as well. So that's another one that's coming up.
DFAC World as well.
Yep, all of that. Yep, in Miami. So Kayla and I are going to have to do our homework, be prepared. We're a little unprepared on this show, but do our homework and get all these dates of these big shows that are coming up. So we can be sure to share those with you. That's okay. I know, my bad too. But it happens like that sometimes. But, it's on our minds, and we will get that information to you. One thing we did not do on Tuesday that I want to be sure to do, and this list might be incomplete, so don't be too upset with me, but I did want to give a shout-out to all of the P4P athletes that competed in the Minnesota Mayhem last weekend. Because we had a good showing. P4P had a pretty good showing there. We had Candace and Rich Feliciano, father-daughter team there, both competing. Candace in bikini and Rich in pro bodybuilding. We had Jack Halverson again. Another good showing from him. Lee Kirkwood was there. I was there. Derek Davis was there. Ooh, who am I missing, Kaylin? Who else did we have on the stage?
You covered yourself, and you covered you, so that's what's important.
shoot, yes. Well, I don't know if that was what's important, but I was part of the P4P entourage that was there trying to do our thing. So, anyway, congrats, everybody, and all of the athletes that aren't part of the P4P family. You're still family, so congratulations to everyone who was there, and good luck to everyone who's competing in the shows coming up. So tonight we have a listener requested episode, and I'm going to let Kaylin go ahead and set the stage for us and introduce our guests.
Well, yeah, this is, you know, there are certain things that we cover because, you know, natural bodybuilding and fitness and health, because they go hand in hand with what we've been talking about and addressing. But something that some of the listeners have been asking, not really complaining, but just asking about, is, you know, why don't we have anything on that relates to real talk issues that basically, you know, need or warrant some kind of addressing, not on the stage side, but, you know, as with the competitors and what's happening in their personal lives. And this is one of those topics that kind of goes hand in hand with that, because I said, you know, it's kind of weird because we always wonder what it takes in prep and what it takes to get ready. But then there's things that, you know, you don't foresee, and that's the outside influences that basically start your inside life. And one of those topics happens to be, you know, with the cops shooting the different individuals and, you know, taking their lives. And basically, you know, you don't know who, what, how, or why, and till it's already done and over with. And then basically you have the, I guess, the fill in the blank on what kind of information is going to be put out there to show the bad side of the person that had their life taken. So it has become a major concern for the black people and the people of color that are just dealing with that. And, of course, there's people that have to deal with the alternate side, which are the husbands, the wives, the mothers, the fathers. And how do they feel about this? You know, it's like it's really stressful. And, you know, just so much is happening. And we have two champions that have basically decided to help us out with this, Loretta and Truman. And I'd like you guys to introduce yourselves and basically give us a background of you and where you're coming from, and then we'll get the show started.
Hi, Kaylin. This is Loretta, and my husband, True, is here. And I'm going to go and let him introduce himself first.
Hello,
okay,
everyone. My name is Truman Ward. I am a pro, a natural competitor. I've been a pro for right around 3 years now, I think, give or take. I'm currently the Southwest Universe and two-time Olympian champion in sports model. And,
nice.
And I plan on making that a three-peat here in November.
That's right. So we're preparing right now for Olympia. And I myself, you know, I've been competing since just 2012, but I progressed pretty fast. Both my husband and I have competed in NPC, and I put that out there just to let you know that natural bodybuilding is just as competitive. My husband's won overall state a couple times in bodybuilding and also physique with NPC, and we both decided to compete in natural bodybuilding to kind of even out the playing field because we wanted to stay natural. And also because both of us, you know, well, he's over 40. He's an old man. But, you know, I'm hitting 40 in a couple months. And
hey, watch it now.
Yeah. I'll be 43 in 2 weeks.
That's
so
right.
Oh, man.
So, you know,
happy early birthday.
Thank you.
Join the club.
Yeah, as we age and, you know, we're staying natural, it's an even playing field. But it's also competitive because both him and I have won an NPC, and we've both won in the natural realm too. So I've taken Natural Universe last year with PNBA and placed at Natural Olympia with PNBA the past couple of years in professional figure. And prior to that, I competed in bikini. Kaylin asked me to come on the show today because of a Facebook post that I had made. And basically, we were traveling back from Virginia Beach after we supported a PNBA show out there that I had an athlete competing in. I'm a coach with True Life Fitness, and we went out there, and we were driving back, and it's late at night. I'm from Alaska. My husband's from New Mexico. Virginia's new and different to us, and it's the South. We live in Southern Virginia, so to me it's the South, you know, being Alaska Native and not being familiar with the area. We have a huge Confederate flag at our exit on Highway 95, 20 feet inside. And although it's, you know, based on Southern pride, according to the organization that put it up, you know, you feel a little bit different in the South. And with all that's going on in the news, I posted that we got pulled over, and I was really afraid because my husband's driving, it's late at night, and it's, you know, more of like a country road. And not to mention, there's been right in that same area recently a person posing as a police officer pulling people over in an unmarked car. So
we
have to abide by authorities and, you know, pull over. And so we did. And everything went fine, but I'm telling him, keep your hands on the wheels. Let me turn on the light so he can see us, you know, from the outside before he walks up to the car. You know, I'm nervous. And so I posted about this, and that was the reason I think that Kaylin asked me to come onto the show, because I got a lot of responses to that post. You know, people shouldn't have to feel like this. Responses from police officers themselves that feel like they're targeted when they're off duty. And these are people that we respect in our society that are military officers, you know, army wives, people that are doing good for our country, and they're legitimately feeling this way. So, you know, I was pretty surprised by the response just to that post, and I guess that's why we're here today.
And it is a very real situation that is out there, even in areas where we predominantly haven't experienced firsthand some of the incidents that we're talking about, which, you know, we'll put it out there where you have, you know, either African-Americans, people of color that are being shot and killed during police stops for no apparent good reason, you know, most of the time. That's what a lot of publicity is going around, and it's very real. I mean, I was just on the phone with my aunt the other day, and for those of you who don't know me, I'm African-American, she's African-American, and so she's just calling me to ask for a ride to work because she was going to drop off her car because she had a headlight that was out and she had just gotten pulled over. And the thing that she said was, you know, I need to get this taken care of so I don't get pulled over anymore because I'm just trying to make it home alive. And I think that speaks to the kind of experience that you're having, because this is just a routine traffic stop and she is legitimately afraid because she doesn't know, with the climate and the environment that we're in right now, you know, if some freak situation could happen to her and then she's the next news headline. And that really is a sad state of affairs that we feel that way.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, that is so true. And the thing that's most frightening, is like Loretta was saying, and you piggybacked, is that you just don't know. And I said, you know, when you talk about people living in fear of routine traffic stops, it's mind-boggling that anyone would defend to say, well, then, you know, they should do this and they should do that. It's never saying the policeman had the right to do his job. These people aren't being real police. And they're basically taking matters into their own hands, escalating a situation, and then taking a life off of something that is basically not even considered a misdemeanor, but a traffic violation. And to have someone justify death, a death sentence, is truly frightening. And, you know, I'll give a good example for me, and I won't even go to my past where I had with the cops and the beatings and all these things. This is just something that happened recently where I was going to a gas station, and it was just one of those days where the bugs were pretty out there real good, and I was wanting to shoo a bee away from my window, but because a cop was going past my car, I was nervous that he would be thinking I was doing something to offend him and turn around and possibly pull me over for something like that. In this state, in this nation, I can't imagine where this is kind of acceptable behavior.
Yeah, I definitely understand where you're coming from. And I think how it applies to the bodybuilding community is the bodybuilding community is so diverse, and we have people from all different, you know, backgrounds that are all trying to better themselves, trying to promote health and strength and nutrition. But everyone's coming from very different backgrounds. There's people on teams from different backgrounds supporting each other. And I think it's really important that we can continue to support each other. And I think there's often people that are stuck in their ways and need to really sit back and reflect and think about, are they listening? Are they really hearing and listening? Because we have senators, governors, teachers, officers, lots of public officials that are resigning from their positions because of their racial views that have been broadcast on social media. And it is real and it is out there, but every police officer is not a racist and every police officer is not a bad person. There's, you know, amazing individuals that are protecting our communities. But even those individuals have to listen and understand, because if the community has fears, then your job as a public servant is to understand those fears and try to make it better, not to dismiss them. And I think that's what's being done in a lot of situations, because if someone hasn't lived it themselves, it's easy to dismiss it.
So if I am an Army vet and I've been overseas 3 times and I've been shot at and, you know, IEDs and booby traps and RPGs and snipers and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I am an officer in the United States Army. I don't and never had a police record. I've never taken a drug in my life. I've never shot a weapon until I got in the Army. I don't own one, period. I have a security clearance, for crying out loud. I am working on my bachelor's degree. I pay my mortgage. I earn a paycheck, honestly, like any other American here. Keyword American. So is it fair to me, somebody that is a law-abiding citizen, a husband, a father, a son, that I should fear cops in my own country versus ISIS, who I know for sure want to end my life because I'm an American? And for cops and for society to not recognize that that is a severe problem. So if I do get pulled over, whether I'm speeding or whether I'm just pulled over to be pulled over, but all the cop sees is a 6'2", 230-pound, heavily muscled black guy, and that because there's such a divide right now in society with color, with race, that he or she instantly, I can see fear, disgust, and hate in some of them.
Mm-hmm.
The same way you would look at maybe an animal. Some ways I feel that, not all, but some of the cops, the problem is that they don't identify with some black people as humans. And it's easy for them to instantly fear for their life, the same way you would feel for maybe if an exotic but dangerous lion jumped out at you. And it's no problem for you to put a bullet in his head.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just one or two people that feel that way. It's a lot of us that feel that way. And for me, I think that sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. We're talking, you know, because Drew brings up a good point, but it has gone beyond a feeling. I mean, people are actually damaging other individuals and taking lives. So, you know, the feeling isn't really a feeling. It's an understanding that this is going to happen. I just hope it doesn't happen to me or someone I know. And that's when it's really sad, because when you start to understand that you're hoping that, yes, there's going to be a news report. Yes, someone's going to be shot and killed. And God, please, don't let it be somebody that I know, because we're so certain that this is going to happen again. And like Drew is saying, how in this day and age is this acceptable to where you say, well, we don't even have to consider it being something we need to talk about or address, like Loretta was saying. If this is something that is an ongoing issue, then why isn't it being addressed like an ongoing issue? Go ahead, Des.
No, I was just agreeing, but I do think Loretta had something that she wanted to say, and then I can jump in after that.
Okay.
Yes, I was just adding on to that, that people really still don't acknowledge that people are targeted, and it is real. True was in the parking lot at the gym with one of our friends, and being that it was in Alaska, he jumped in her truck because it's cold outside, and a police car pulls up to him, to her, it was her truck, and jumps out and comes to the window and asks what's going on, and then asks for his ID, not the driver's ID, not, you know, the person who was owning the truck, the vehicle.
And asked me if I was selling drugs, like real blunt.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Yeah, but, I mean, this happens. Stuff like that happens every day to people, no matter if you have a record or if you don't have a record. And, you know, police officers have a very tough job. And
yes.
I wouldn't, you know, you have to be the right person to be in that position. But they need the training. They need the background checks. They need a lot of different, you know, things, including community support, but it's a two-way street. I mean, the community is not going to support them if there are those bad apples out there that are biased, that have hate. I mean, it's not going to ever, you can't protect your community with hate.
Oh, my goodness. Very well said.
No.
So yep. Very well said.
It does have to be something that is established on trust, which is something we just don't have right now on several fronts. And unfortunately, it's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy because, to Loretta's point, not all cops are bad. And I truly believe that. There are a good many of them out there that are doing a wonderful job, that have their public as their main concern, that are well-trained, and they're fair. But unfortunately, the ones that are not overshadow the good work that is being done by those who are doing it. And, you know, you hear all the time, you know, no matter what the cop says, you agree, disagree, just do what they say. But if you don't have trust, then you're going to be less likely to do what they say. And when you don't abide by what they ask, well, then they are within their right to use force. Not excessive, but they are within the right to do their job, which right now is not turning out well in several instances. So, you know, how does that cycle stop? I mean, is it more training? There are some cultural stigmas that are just not, or barriers, I won't call them stigmas, I'll call them barriers, that aren't going to be broken down overnight. And, you know, I'm not sure what the answer is to it, but there is something that has to change, and you're right. It cannot be overlooked by those who are empowered. They need to see it. They need to address it and not just gloss over it with all lives matter. Yes, they do, but not all lives are in peril to the same degree as others are.
No, yeah. I have a cop friend at the gym, and he's a sheriff, real big guy. Came to my promotion, you know, I connected with him, and I asked him one day, what is his take on the shootings? With what it seems to be is mostly black males. And he said, well, I'm going to tell you what most cops won't tell you, and I'm going to tell you what a lot of society or social media won't tell you. And that is, cops are human, which is a fair enough point, and that when they leave their job and they go home, most of them, naturally, they have their friends and their family that they connect with that, for the most part, aren't black. So they're not accustomed and they're not used to being around black people. So now, the only time that they have any real, contact with black people, it's a lot of the time the negative side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're in the projects, they're in the slums, they're in the ghettos. They're seeing the lowest of low. Unfortunately, the representatives that they're seeing that are black are the ones that I myself don't even like. The drug dealers, the gangbangers. You know, maybe the rule breakers. And when they go back home, it is that they're dealing again with the people that they are used to being around. So when you have an incident where you have a female cop who's Caucasian and she's surrounded by other cops, but she's so fearful for her life because she's facing down a black male who, as far as she's concerned, wants to take her life, to the point where she feels that she needed to kill him, that's kind of a problem. Especially if the guy had his hands up in the air. He was of no threat at all. There was no gun anywhere around him. But to her, that was still justification to put two bullets or four bullets in him. And that's what I mean by, not all, the majority, I feel, is that we're not looked at as humans anymore. And it's easy to justify killing something that to you is less than human. You fear it, or it disgusts you, or you hate it, or all three. And that, like my wife said, it's a social issue that is leaving a lot of us dead. And that's a problem.
Yes.
I am not a gang member. I'm not a gangster, a drug dealer, a dope smuggler. I don't do anything that's against the law. Matter of fact, I protect this country as a military officer. The problem is, because of the color of my skin, some cops, they will not care to even find that out before they start feeling threatened if I move a certain way or if I move too quick. So when the cop came to to our car, when we got pulled over, the first thing Larita did was turn on the lights so that inside the car, so that he could see inside.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my hands on the steering wheel so that I, you know, I'm less of a threat than I can possibly be.
There's just so much to this. And when you add the fact that people are complying, people are listening, people are doing what the cop has said and going over and, I mean, going overboard in doing it. I mean, you figure if you're laying on the ground and you have your hands in the air and you still get shot, there's no justification for that. And it's still being defended as if it's warranted if the person had done it. I said, you have an open carry state, which is Ohio, and you have two people carrying toy guns, not real guns, toy guns. One was in a Walmart, and one was in a park just playing with himself. A child, a 12-year-old child playing with himself, no one around, and suddenly he's a threat. And then you have a person that's basically calling up a friend to make sure he's got the right BB gun for whatever place that he's going to take it, and he's shot to death in an open carry state where someone else
and then they dig up that record.
Yeah, oh yeah. That's the first thing that comes up is, you know, your history. So if you have anything in your background, you're basically, you know, just a target that's going to be justified for being dead. But the thing that's scary is that it's so easily dismissed, and you have something like a Colin Kaepernick getting more attention than what he's basically asking us to take a look at. And this is something that's basically defended in a way that still, like Drew says, decreases the value of a black life.
Yes. And I would say the other thing that's going on that contributes to that, that a lot of times you see on social media where they will take a story and it might have been a true news story at one time, but they sensationalize it and they turn it into something else. You know, one of them I saw was, it was a black mother breastfeeding her child in public, approached by a white cop. She did not follow his instructions, and he ends up killing her, saying she should have done what I asked her to do. Well, part of the story was true, but the whole sensationalized, the way they spun it was not true, causing people to become angry, hurt, and afraid, stirring them up. And I think even instances like that, it's not calling attention to what the true problem is, because when you get enough fake stories out there, nobody's going to pay attention anymore because they don't know what to believe. And it's doing it an injustice to what the issue is and the focus that should be put on it. And there's just a lot of things out there and a lot of misinformation that are going to do more to, you know, as you're saying, take the focus off what the cause should be versus keep it pointed at where it needs to be and working towards a solution, whatever that might be.
Yes. I'm glad you brought that up because that's something we do need to speak on, especially since this is real talk. And there are a lot of hate groups that want this division. They crave it. They hunger for it. And they love this more than anything because now they finally get that race war that they've been wanting ever since the South lost the war. And you're talking over 100 years ago, and they've been grandfathered in the hating. And like Loretta was saying, you know, you can't have justice with hate. It's impossible. And yet they've been putting it out there. And I know there's been a lot of false information put out there. You know, some incidents from overseas acts done by law enforcement. And it's like something in New York or something in Chicago. And then they say, well, you know, aren't you mad and aren't you pissed off? And it's like the Dez was saying, it's so false that, you know, how could anybody not research it and want to find out, you know, what's going on? But everybody's so quick to, and, well, you know, hate to pun it, but to pull a gun and make a point that it's already taking away and the value from what we're basically trying to speak out against. And if we're jumping the gun, then why are we defending, why are we saying that somebody else should, you know, hold their horses and think it through, and we have to do the same thing?
So I'm real big. I've been in the military 23 years, almost 23 years, and I'm really, really big. And this is something that I took from my mom. And that is, you have to take responsibility for your actions.
Yes.
We, and what I mean by we, is a lot of us, black males specifically, we're good at playing the victim a lot. And we need to stop that. Writing off of, you know, what we feel is a missed justification for a murder, that doesn't help our cause at all. So I've had cousins even that have said things like on social media, coincidentally, yeah, you know, I got pulled over and I got arrested because I had a gram of weed in the car and I'm in lockup and I'm talking to a white guy and he has to just do community service, whereas I have to do two weeks in jail. And I say to that, then don't have weed in the car, man.
Yeah.
Have a valid driver's license. Don't sell drugs. Don't drink and drive.
Yeah.
Don't break the damn law. Now, there are things that we can do for ourselves that I think would be along lines of policing ourselves up.
Yeah.
And when we start doing some of those things, so if you know now in 2016 that, yes, there is a racial bias, yes, there are things that are unfair, one party can do something the same as the other party, but the other party gets three times the amount of trouble or killed for it, then okay, there you go. There's your answer. Don't break the law. Don't sell drugs. Don't have a gun in your car that's not registered. Don't speed. When I got pulled over, I was speeding. Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
I took full responsibility for that. It didn't have anything to do with the color of my skin. Absolutely not. And I'm really quick to point and call people out on that if that is your only alibi. So if you are targeted or you are mistreated and you're doing everything that you felt was inside the law and that you're doing everything specifically for sure inside the law and then you're still mistreated, then now we can go somewhere with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing, and this is something that I always have to drive home, is the false comparison for vindication and justification. And if you have a person that, like I said, is breaking the law, you give them a ticket. You don't take the life. And we're talking about people that are escalating the situation, and they're supposed to be the person that de-escalates the situation. And law enforcement is enforcing laws, not taking the law into your own hand. And you're talking judge, jury, and executioner in many of these instances. And as much as we are talking about it, we can't talk half as much as what's really going on. And if you just, you can go to gunreport.com and see some of the abuses that are done in the name of the quote-unquote law. And it's downright frightening when you consider that you can have your hand out the window and that's a reason to be put to death. Because, you know, I don't even want to call them policemen because they're not. I mean, there's people at my job that really don't need to be at my job because they don't know how to do the job. And if they got fired, everyone would understand that, you know, this just wasn't the job for them. But when you put it in the law enforcement's hands, it becomes totally different. They deserve that job. Everybody should listen to them, even if they're not equipped to be in that position. And that's mind-boggling to me that in the, you tell me that everybody that has hired on is exactly at the job that they should be, then every other job should be in that same scenario, and they should never be fired. But you know that's not true. But for some reason, to justify and to vindicate these corrupt individuals, we're basically giving them a pass, and that that blue badge or whatever they call it, that code of silence, basically because they mm-hmm. don't, you figure good cops don't want to get shot too.
Nope.
Yes, I completely agree, because on one side there's a lot of people that are against the Black Lives Matter because they think it's just hype. But on the other side, there's this whole other media hype, which is, oh, well, that man got shot, but he smoked weed. Okay.
Yeah.
Or, oh, he had a felony 10 years ago and he served his time in jail. So all of a sudden it's validating that he got shot. And for anyone to validate that someone got murdered over something they did and served their time for, I mean, that is not justice. That's, you know, these people should not be in a public service role if they can validate any of those things, that this person's a bad person, so they deserve to get shot. That's not America. That's not justice. And
No. People
need to come together and stop spreading the hate on both sides. I mean, there's, you know, just in both, you know, seriously, on both sides, there is some people that are on the edge of just spewing hate, and people need to come together and just understand and listen to each other. If you're in a public service role, open your eyes and listen to your community, that there's reasons that people are concerned.
The lady, the cop that shot the gentleman whose car broke down a few weeks ago
mm-hmm.
in the helicopter, they had that, you know, was on air.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching it, of course, on Facebook, because, you know, it was social media explosion, but which the pilot was the husband of the wife that shot that guy, by the way. So,
oh, wow.
I remember when he got out of the car, as he sees the guy, the helicopter pilot sees the guy, you know, you seeing everything that the pilot is seeing, because they're videotaping it. The first thing he does is go, oh, there. Oh, that guy, he looks like a bad dude.
Yeah.
What made him a bad dude? So I asked some of my soldiers that, and they said, well, Chief, what if, you know, so I'm a warrant officer in the Army, Chief Warrant Officer 3. Some of my soldiers, who they're also warrant officers, said, well, what if, Chief, if we're to be real and we're being honest, that cop that shot that guy, what if every other, or just about every time she's been shot at or threatened, it was by a guy that looked like him? And I said, that's a fair point, but I personally have never shot at her, but I fully believe that if I was in that situation where that guy was at, I would be shot dead in front of my wife and kid because my car broke down. Again, let's go back to the point where I've never even fired a gun until I got in the military. I didn't know how. I've seen them, but I've never even touched one. And I know I go back to the never done drugs. I mean, I'm about as upstanding of a citizen as you could be, but as far as that cop, that female was concerned, because of my skin color, I fully feel that I would have been just as dead as that guy because she would have felt threatened by me. And that's when I asked the questions, why are we so hated and feared? There's a feeling of disgust with some of these cops. Well, why do you say that? Well, who's the ones that are being killed right now?
Yeah.
It's people that look like me that's being killed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem. So there's no other way that could have been handled? No, I think she handled it just fine. Okay, well, that guy's dead then, so you don't ever have to worry about him ever again because he's dead. When my wife says that they need, you know, better training, I fully believe that. Not every one of us has a gun on them, and not every one of us, if you pull us over, are going to start blasting out the window the next 2 seconds. How am I going to do that if I don't own a firearm, period?
That's right.
Well, yeah, when it comes down to it, the female that Sue was talking about, she pleaded not guilty because she said she was in fear for her life and didn't even know there was officers there standing around her, supporting her. So, I mean, they have to have real-world situations and real-world training. I'm tired of the media saying it's not even a concern because, you know, white people get killed twice as much as black people, or 40% of the shootings are white and only 30% are black. I mean, the fact is African Americans make up about 12% of the United States, and Caucasians make up over 60%. So how does that even out? Either, you know, whatever the statistic is, if people have a concern, you need to listen. If you have teammates in the bodybuilding world or friends in the bodybuilding world, you need to listen, because people need to really come together and legitimately acknowledge that it's a real concern.
So I wonder, and I hate thinking things like this, but imagine me getting shot tomorrow because of a misunderstanding at a traffic stop, which that's what it had been. Because, you know, I'm not a violent person. I don't have a firearm. I don't have drugs on me. I'm a natural bodybuilder, for crying out loud, you know. So the chances of me doing something tomorrow, per se, if I get pulled over to warrant me being killed, is probably going to be very, very small. But imagine what the media would attempt to dig up. Oh, they'd have the videos of me, you know, squatting 315 10 times. They would make sure that they'd have the video of me doing, you know, one arm dumbbell press 140 pounds. Well, here you can clearly see how he was probably very strong, thus dangerous and a threat to that cop. What? The most I'm trying to do is build a natural physique so that I can win on stage again, not so that I can go around and sling cops or beat up some cops because I got pulled over because I'm speeding. Good Lord, why is it that I or someone that looks like me immediately has as much dirt as you can find on that person once they're killed? And that's what I mean by we're not recognized by certain law authority as humans, because it's easier to dehumanize us by saying, oh, well, when he was in sixth grade, he smoked weed. 200 years ago. So he's probably that totally, totally validated that cop, you know, putting four bullets in his face. Well, he jerked. And he, you know, can deadlift 450 pounds, which isn't even really that much, to be honest with you. But it was probably more than the cop. Therefore, I'm a threat. I have a full length, I have a full sleeve tattoo on my left arm. It's tribal, and there's a dragon, and there's a lot of cool colors, and I thought that the tattoo looked pretty cool. But I'm honestly afraid now that to a cop, it's gang-related signs. So I'm more worried about a cop than I am an insurgent over in Iraq. That's an issue.
That's a big issue.
It's a big issue.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and it's unfortunately not one we're going to come to a point of solution to tonight, as we're running out of time and we're having such a good discussion. But, it's just one of those things I'm not even sure what to say, because I have all of the same concerns. Not so much for myself, although I've experienced some of these things to a very small degree of being just put through different hoops that I know my Caucasian friends haven't had to deal with, but more from a mother's perspective, because I have a teenage son that's getting ready to go off to college, and he's going to be on his own and probably 5 or 6 states away from me. And, you know, I'm just not going to be there if something crazy like this happens, to be able to support him, to help him. you know, give him counsel. He's going to be dealing with it on his own when he shouldn't even have to be dealing with things like this at all if he's not breaking the law. He's not speeding, his car isn't good, whatever, wherever he is. Any reason that he would have to be stopped by a police officer for any reason, if he's not doing anything outside of the law, I shouldn't be afraid if he gets pulled over by a cop. But I am, for him, being a male especially. And I don't know. I don't like that feeling. It's hard enough being a parent, but then adding all of these other social issues on top of it, it's just different levels of crazy. I guess that's the only way I can put it. But, yeah, I'm at a loss, really and truly I am. But I am very appreciative that you both were willing to come on the show tonight and talk about this very real topic and how it's been affecting your lives in addition to so many lives around us. So thank you very much for joining us and taking the time.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. And I really appreciate P4P for taking this risk and bringing up this topic because it does affect so many of our natural bodybuilders and their families. And I hope if anyone was out there listening tonight that they just, you know, really can reflect themselves on have they been listening or have they been saying just get over it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's the worst. And like Drew was saying, it takes so much away from what's really happening when you say, well, you know, you should get past this because we all have our troubles and we all have our struggles in life. It's like you're not even seeing what's happening. You're basically defending something that's indefensible. And I'm amazed. I'm really amazed at the very people that I consider, you know, good people, good friends, that would sit there and say, you know, you're taking this way too hard, or you're thinking way too deep into this. And it's like you're talking about my life, and you're saying, like Drew was saying, all that I'm doing to prepare myself for a healthy, long life, and it's ended because of somebody's malfeasance. I mean, you can't justify that and expect me to say, well, I'm cool with that. I'm okay with the fact that because this man feels threatened, that he has a right to take my life. Because my dad did 35 years of police work, and he was afraid every day that he was going to have to draw his gun. But it seems now it's just the opposite, that some of these guys really cannot wait for that opportunity. And I do say it with the honest intent of that word, the opportunity to pull that weapon and show just how manly or, you know, in control of the situation they can be. Because, like I said, they're not de-escalating. They're escalating the situation. And that should be a sure sign that training has not been done correctly.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed.
Well, like that,
it's
not going to be done today. It's not going to be fixed today. But hopefully some minds will be open today. And you figure even our own podcaster, Dave, the Hound Liggett, is a policeman. And I think the world of him and all that he does. And we have a good friend, Sean Wade, who's busting his butt to stop bullying and all kind of other abuses. So, you know, to demonize the police force is totally wrong, like Loretta was saying. And like Drew was saying, the people that are breaking the law, God bless them, give them a ticket, fine them, take them to court. But don't take their life for something we know is not a life sentence of death. I can't see where we're trying to connect the dots to where this makes sense. When it has no sense, it's insanity at its best. I mean, just laughable at its worst. And I'm talking about in the worst sense. And the fact that people are still saying that somehow, some way, we have to make this right for police work to keep going on correctly. And like Drew was saying, it's almost bringing about anarchy when you have the law being broken by the law enforcement groups.
Yep, in 2016.
Yes.
But, you know, I have hopes that things will improve because I never thought that I would be having to have this conversation with our daughter, you know, about
things going
on. Oh,
yes, please talk about that.
I mean,
I
never thought so. Growing up, I grew up in the era of, you know, my parents being hippies. They protested, they marched, there was a civil rights movement. Everything got fixed, and now it's fixed. I mean, that was a story I was told, although I saw different growing up. But, you know, it doesn't seem to compare to what we're seeing in 2016. And that does frighten me because, you know, we all have kids, and we don't want this as their reality.
No.
Yes. Well, if you could, and Des had touched on it as well, as a mother and a wife, you know, because we're talking about the I don't want to say the black side of it, but it is being covered to a degree at a higher rate. But there are people that know these black lives that should matter, and they're being left with a void now because somebody they know, and no, I'm not saying somebody they have a relationship with, but people they know balls to bone, in and out, and know their personality, and then you hear what, like True was saying, is being drug up and drudged up to place the guilt on the person that's been murdered, and that's exactly what it is. They've been murdered. How, as a mother, you know, as a wife, how do you deal with that day to day?
Well, that's a tough one. I mean, when I made that post, it was just, you know, a quick post and something I was feeling at the time. But I got a lot of comments from mothers. And like Desiree was saying, you know, I tell my son not to go out wearing a hoodie, to take his hoodie down so that people can see his face and make sure, you know, he doesn't look like a threat. I have people saying the same thing happened to me and I thought I was going to be assassinated. I have people saying, you know, I'm really scared for, you know, this person in my family. I have a son and I worry for him every day because he's 18. So those are not just pulled out of the woodwork concerns that people are just imagining. Those are legitimate concerns. And whether they're true or not, from one police officer to another, and how they would, you know, react in that situation, if it's a concern, they need to be acknowledged. I mean, how do you want to serve your community if your community is scared of you? If you can't acknowledge that and work with the community, then you shouldn't be in that position.
Yes.
True. Well, and the parting thought that I have is, you know, regardless of what your beliefs are, you know, you pray for me, I'll pray for you, pray for your communities. And as Truman says, keep fighting for the good. I mean, and that's how change is going to happen. But the first part is acknowledging that there is an issue, and then, as Loretta's been saying, being open to address that so it can have a solution. And I know I'm cutting this short. I know I'm being the evil clock watcher, but somebody's got to do it. And I have to say goodnight to Truman and Loretta. And I'm so sorry. But again, thank you
for being on our show.
And we're going to have to do this again sometime.
No, we're going to have them back on to talk about, you know, what natural bodybuilding. But I wanted to address this one first because this is something that is close to home. But like Dad says, we do have to wrap it up.
All right.
Well, thank you, guys.
Good night, guys. Thanks again so much. Live blessed.
Yes, you are
welcome.
Thank
you. Thank you very much.
Us.
All right, Kaylin. Heavy, heavy topic. So much we haven't covered, so much we can't cover right now, so we'll have to hit it again. But, folks, let us know your thoughts and comments on this, and we'll definitely readdress. Kaylin, you have 2 seconds to do a snickerdoodle shout-out.
Snickerdoodle.
I love it. So on behalf of myself, Kaylin, our wonderful guests, Loretta and Truman, P for P Muscle, if your body is a temple, let's build it.